Welcome to another episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on season 4, episode 10, The French Connection. What is four in French?
De tre.
Quatre.
God.
Okay.
De trois, quatre. What was I talking
about? Ça. What language were you in?
I was in Offspring. Un, deux, tres, quatre, cinco, cinco, seis. She's getting a tattoo, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, my God. I don't know where that came from.
Well, I do. I love Offspring, but yeah.
The Offspring are great. I Want You Bad is one of my favourite songs, and yeah. I have no regrets about that statement.
Oh, amazing.
Glorious. Well, when we're not listening to The Offspring, my name is Heather, and I've never seen The OC.
And my name is Jane, and I have seen The OC.
Do you have any business you would like to bring up?
Not this week, no, I don't think so. To you?
I just have one thing that I guess I would like to thank our lovely listeners for.
Ooh.
We have had so many people message us with either the simple fact or the images of Frank Attwood when he was Hercules. Jonathan has just sent us a picture and he was a handsome lad. A handsome man.
Like what era Hercules? Like how old are we talking?
I'm not sure. Ryan Gosling's in it and he's super young.
Okay. Holy moly.
Holy guacamole. I appreciate Jonathan's message saying Dawn had good taste.
She did.
Damn, Daniel. Cool. Frank Attwood, handsome. Moving on.
Yeah.
It's important business dealt with.
Yep.
Last time on the OC.
So we've got this Seth and Summer engagement wedding shambles. That's all.
Yes, it is a shambles. Neither of them want to get married, but Seth's going to ask Dr. Roberts for Summer's hand in marriage. Sure. We talked about this last week and the week before. Neither of us like this storyline, but here we are.
Speaking of storylines we don't like, Caitlin and Chris Brown, or sorry, Will. Let's call him Will.
I am not mad. Right, I'm not mad at this storyline.
Storyline's not that bad.
It's Chris Brown. But yeah. I'm not mad at the storyline.
Okay, sorry, we're separating the art from the artist.
I love. Is Chris Brown an artist?
No,
I'm sure. Like maybe like Naughty's R&B maybe would argue that he has a place in the canon. But personally,
I'm going to say the OC is art, but he is not. He is separating the art from the music artist.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Okay, let's go down that route. That's good. Yeah. Good. Good plan.
My notes for this week are wild, actually. It's like wedding shambles, Chris Brown, prostitution ring, tailor and husband.
That's a solid...
succinct, huh?
Yes. Julie is running a prostitution ring, a gigolo ring, as I wrote down. Yep, sure. And Taylor was married in France to a French man. She's now divorced. We thought we were over it, but clearly we're not.
Nope. Yes.
Onwards.
So we are at the tackle place. I feel we're at the tackle place all the time now. Do you think they just needed a new setting?
Yeah, they must have got a sweet deal on the set.
Yeah.
Because we are, and we get inside and outside.
And I guess they're not really at school. No one's at college currently, so.
Oh, yeah. We've not been in the comic book store for a while, though.
No. But yeah, they're at Frank's place of work, the tackle place, and Taylor turns up and she has the perfect Valentine's gift for Ryan, albeit 3 weeks early.
I get this. If I get someone a really good present or if I'm organising a surprise for them, all I want to do is tell them.
Oh, so much. Stephen gives me so much stick for this. And it's really bad if, like, say I've already got the gift in the house and then the person's there and I'm like, just let me show you, just like tell you your present. It's like, it's, I can just tell
do
you.
Just open it.
Yeah, do I just open it, like, right now? And yeah.
Because you know it's going to be great. So I very much feel Taylor in this, but what I don't feel and what I have actually, in a very Freudian manner, written down, she has got him a crap book.
get.
A scrapbook. Yep. Clearly, my thoughts on a scrapbook are very
offensive. You're not a fan of a scrapbook? I'm not a fan of a scrapbook after, what's it been, a few weeks?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of a scrapbook when they've been going out literally a hot minute.
Yeah.
And also, here's all the weird pictures I've taken of you when you didn't know I was taking them.
Yeah,
that was creepy. Why is he not cutting and running at this point?
Yeah, the hospital bracelets are too much as well, aren't they? How did she get it off him when he was still asleep, when he was still in hospital?
How did she get it off him? I also read a really fun IMDb fact that their date of births are wrong. The years are wrong. It's made them too old.
There you go. But yeah, Taylor's given this gift and he's just a bit like, oh, thanks, that's really cute. And then you can just see Taylor's face, like she sees something in the bookshop window. And yes, it turns out that it is the new bestseller by esteemed writer Henri Michel de Mormoran. Season for Peaches, and if we remember from previous episode, Peaches was, what did they call it? It was our butt, our boobs.
It was our boobies.
Yeah.
A little pet name for our boobies.
Yeah.
Although it's got a smashing write-up from the New York Times and they do not come easy. So, I mean, if I just saw this, I would probably buy it because I'd be like, New York Times.
New York Times. But yeah, basically the premise is a Frenchman seduces a young American girl.
Sounds oddly familiar, that.
Yeah. So basically Taylor sort of makes her excuses and gets away from Ryan, goes to the bookstore and, yeah, realises that she is in fact Peaches. Shock horror.
I enjoyed the book guy's description. It's Bridges of Madison County mixed with The Notebook mixed with porn.
Nice.
Sure. And I really enjoyed it when she was like, I am Peaches.
It's me.
I am Peaches. Did you watch Killing Eve?
Season one, but I've not watched anything since.
So there's a scene in...
I don't know.
I watched, I'm pretty sure I watched season two. There's a scene when she's there with like her other like killer pal and then they shoot the third guy and she's like, I am not a pumpkin. All I could hear that I am Peaches in was, I am Peaches, I am not a pumpkin.
Oh, amazing.
Anyway, Seth and Ryan, we have a little, I was going to say a tete-a-tete, but that means like shagging, doesn't it? I was trying to is that like a conversation? A little tete-a-tete?
I thought they'd have a little head-to-head. That's what tete means. So it's like, I thought it was like when a sort of a bit of a disagreement.
That's not what I meant. I just meant they had a petite conversation. There we go. I'll include the French lingo that I know.
Oh gosh, yep. Right, okay, love
just
it.
Pepper it throughout.
Okay.
I'm actually going to France at Christmas, so this is very helpful. Remind me I did do Duolingo for one lockdown.
Heather, ask me how I found this episode.
In French?
No, just in English.
How did you enjoy this episode, Jane?
Comme ça. Is that was like okay, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, that I don't mean my French was okay. I mean that's literally what it means.
It does mean, yeah. It kind of means, yes.
Yeah. Comme ça, comme ça.
Yeah. It's all right. Yeah. I haven't decided yet. Il gris. It is grey. I'll decide later. They're doing... I better not peek too soon because I really will be running out of French words very soon. Yeah, so Ryan is still being the aid of reason, trying to persuade him to like not keep going. Don't go to Seattle to talk to Dr. Roberts. Just tell her that you're not interested in getting married because this is absolutely insane. Both of you are going to walk down the aisle because neither of you are going to back down.
Yep.
But Seth has a plan. He thinks that Dr. Roberts is going to say no. So that is his plan. Go to Seattle. Dr. Roberts is going to be like, no, you're too young.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom. He doesn't look like the bad guy. Excellent.
Yep.
He jogs on to do that. And Taylor arrives to talk to Ryan. And then it cuts quite quickly to him sitting in the bed in the pool house. Mm-hmm. And her just being like, my policy is full disclosure. So are you all right? Is everything okay? And he's like, your ex-husband wrote this book about you. And she very quickly reinstates the fact that it's a novel and not a memoir. But she's really concerned because things have been so good between them and she doesn't want a silly erotic novel getting in the way.
Yes. It's also worth mentioning that there's not going to be a movie of the novel because it's too adult.
I mean, there could be a movie about it.
Would you read the novel, Heather?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. I don't even need to think about it. Would you?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's... Do you remember those videos that were going about, like, a couple of years ago, and people were like, oh, you put a kid in a room with, like, a bowl of sweets, and it's like, oh, don't eat... You can have some of these, but don't have any now, and then, like, go away. And I saw, like, so many kids... like actually waiting and like not eating the sweets. I was like, those are psychopaths. Nuts. As soon as you're told like not psychopaths. To do something, you're going to want to do it, aren't you?
I also saw the one that was like the big red button, and they were told don't hit the big like, honestly, if somebody says to me don't hit the button, all I want to do is hit the button. So yeah, we both would have read the book from front to, and we both enjoy reading, so it probably would have been a joy.
So nobody in there.
But he says, I've never read a romance novel before, I'm not going to start now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know it. To me, it didn't seem very romance-like. It had, like, Lita vibes. I'm still so confused at what, like, age Taylor is. And
yeah, it's not very clear what age Henri is either.
Yeah. But yeah, we cut to Julie, Cooper and Spencer discussing plans. And then Kirsten comes in and obviously they act all shifty. And yeah, Kirsten's sort of like, right, what's going on here? She spies the black book in the cupboard, and what is it even Julie says? She says something, he said he was coming over to shift furniture. It was just a ridiculous
And then Kirsten, being the big sneaky sneak, oh no, she doesn't steal the phone here, never mind. That's later, never mind, I got ahead of myself. Do you know what I did enjoy about this scene? We get a price. 2500, a sweet sweet 2500 gets you a night with, I don't know, one of Spencer's
boys.
Interesting maths. Could we figure out how many that would be for 80 grand for New Year's Eve? Probably. Are we going to?
New Year's Eve would be a premier rate as well, though.
It's not, so it would be.
I'd say at least three.
Okay. Good. Okay. Great.
Cool. Something to work with.
If you were Kirsten in this situation, surely their normal business isn't going to be that busy. Would you not be like, why are you so busy and I'm cutting about getting coffee?
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we come to it. But yeah, I think just again, it's similar to Jimmy, isn't it?
Yeah.
With his track history, you think alarm bells would be ringing. With Julie's track history, you think alarm bells would be ringing. But do you know, I think we do forget as well that Julie has recently lost her daughter.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Oh, I mean, probably not justification for running a successful prostitution ring, but
most definitely not. But yeah, we sometimes
grief
forget.
Comes in loads of different ways, Jen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, but Summer's at home looking at wedding hair, and Taylor's like, "Oh, why don't you give Holly a ring?" So Holly's fairly been resurrected.
Holly.
Yeah. Well, she was only in it like two episodes ago, but.
I know, I was going to say, I thought they'd just wheeled her out for the Here's What Could Have Happened episode,
but
she's back.
That's what I'm not, I was wondering, but who knows why. But yeah, they bring Holly back. And yeah, Summer also spies the book, doesn't she?
Taylor tries to like justify the book because Summer's like, oh, I've started reading it, it's like proper filthy. And Taylor's like, oh, the girl just has a healthy sex drive. And Summer just snaps back and it's like, yeah, for a hooker. I'm like, okay, sex workers, real work. Because we come back to this point a lot. Also, imagine one of your best pals talking about you like that and not realizing it was you.
Okies.
Mean. Anyway, back to the taco place, and some guy is sitting at the bar reading the book.
Oh, do you think this was, I'm trying to think of, this must have been sort of like 50 Shades of Grey era, huh?
It must be, right? I was trying to think the same.
Because they're properly...
Twilight, was that sexy?
Not
in the same level.
I don't know. They make it out to be properly, like, pornographic, don't they? Like, which I feel 50 Shades of Grey was probably quite shocking for the... Yeah, although that's saying 50 Shades of Grey is a 2011 erotic romance novel, so maybe they'll see we're ahead of their...
Was it not on the internet beforehand, though? That was the big hoo-ha. It was like a blog for ages.
Maybe.
Maybe they were just, like, really cool and on it.
Maybe.
I imagine the people that wrote the OC would have read blogs back in the day.
Yeah.
Had a, oh my God, a live journal. Remember that?
Yeah, oh God. Oh God, I had a live journal. Oh my gosh.
We all had live journal.
I don't remember deleting it, thank God, if that was still lurking about the internet.
I don't think I've deleted mine. Guess what I'm doing after.
Oh my God. Guess what I'm doing after.
You can find it and delete it first.
Oh gosh. Yeah, so yeah, everyone's reading this book basically. They're at Tackle Place and there's a guy sitting at the bar reading it. Then turns out Kirsten's also reading it. As Sandy comes in and he's having a bit of chat, and then Sandy's like, oh, it's about this girl, blah blah blah, and then Ryan's like, and the penny kind of drops that Peaches is in fact Taylor.
I love how blunt Ryan is about it, because you can tell, like, Sandy doing what probably anyone would do was kind of making jokes about it. I was like, oh my God, Kirsten reading about it. It's super sexy. Oh my God, did you read this? Like, scandalous.
Yeah.
And then Ryan's just like, yep, 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 it's Taylor. It's Taylor. You need to stop. You need to stop. It's Taylor. It's very funny.
Oh,
it's
man.
Very good. And then the first thing that Sandy says is, wow, so have you read it?
Nope.
Oh man. Poor Ryan. This next scene, I know we said we are separating the art from the artist, but the irony of Chris Brown talking about women's rights is not lost on me in the slightest.
Yeah, they are, Caitlin and Will, portrayed by Chris Brown, are discussing the suffragettes. And Caitlin's sort of thanking him for helping her with her studies. She seems to be doing better. And she asks him over to hers.
Cute. Oh, very cute.
It's cute. Not so much for the twins. They are super jelly.
Oh, no, they're awful. Turns up calling him a dork. A dork.
Yeah.
And he doesn't surf or play water polo, ergo dorko, which I thought was very funny. And one of them is like, oh my God, you like him? Do you like him? It's, yeah.
Yeah. They're...
It's all quite juvenile, but then I'm also like, well, they are at high school. I don't know what I'm expecting.
Yeah. And then we have Summer hanging out with Holly, and basically these scenes are essentially just what we saw in the parallel universe, aren't they?
Oh yeah, 100%.
So Holly and her pals, they're all these sort of trophy wives. They call themselves the Noopsie Weds. And she invites Summer to lunch with them, and she's like, oh, and she has pancakes in her bag as well, as in the rabbit.
Not the snack.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely of the tiny dog era, isn't it? Yeah. Paris Hilton, oh, all of them.
Chihuahua in a handbag.
I love a chihuahua. Chihuahuas are so cute.
They are. A handbag size bag dogs kind of freak me out, but...
Oh, no, big dogs freak me out. Big dogs could kill you. If they wanted to go through the jugular, they could. Tiny chihuahua, I could take that.
I guess. Okay, you've changed my mind. I'm convinced. So... we're back to Ryan, and he is leaving work and he goes to buy the book.
Yes. Temptation has clearly got too much. He comes in, he's looking at the book, and lo and behold, the author is still here. Lol.
Oh, who
shall I make it out to? A girlfriend, perhaps? What's her name? Taylor.
Do you just love how deadpan Ryan is, though?
Yeah. I also really enjoy how Henry is made out. He literally looks like every guy I ever snogged at ABC.
Just needs a cardigan.
Like, get a little bit more eyeliner on there, and that's me. Sorry.
Oh, love it. You love a stereotypical Frenchman, Heather.
I have a type, but what can I say?
But yeah, so he comes face to face with Henry. So we then cut to the next day where Taylor's arriving at the pool house. She's got coffees for Ryan, and she's like, look, I called you at work. I called. And then she sees the book and she's like, oh shit. And but he's read it all.
Yeah.
Pulled an all-nighter reading about his girlfriend's sexual exploits with a Frenchman.
Yeah. Do you know the thing is, everybody has a past.
Yep.
Whether it's shagging or not, everybody has a past. And like, I am very much, I would much rather know, because nothing can be worse than what I am imagining. Like, is how I try to think of it. In saying that, if there was a book, probably wouldn't want to read that. That's probably one step too far.
Yeah, seeing things written down on paper is quite jarring, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, okay, cool, you had lots of wild sex. I don't need to know any more than that, you know? Like, that's enough detail. You don't want the... Yeah. you don't want a toss by toss recurrence. Nope. What's the word I'm looking for?
You don't want to recount it step
Recounting.
By step.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. Thanks, pal.
No worries. But yeah, it just makes me think the age of them as well. It's pretty messed up, isn't it? Like dealing with that at 18.
Yeah. I think what you said earlier about Taylor, like, I just feel they've made her into this, not a complicated character in a good way, but a complicated mm-hmm. character in a bad way. Like,
a confused character.
Yeah, 100%.
Or she's confusing.
And I think that's what we're feeling a lot here. Like, yeah. he being Ryan, later comes back and, like, apologises, and she's really apologetic. And you're like, at the end of the day, neither of you have done anything wrong. Like,
yeah.
You don't need to, yeah, it's a really straight, and especially because Taylor is so confident, or was so confident
yeah.
in her sexuality, to then have it brought up in this way is almost like quite slut-shamey.
Slut-shamey, and it's also, yeah, I don't know, I just still feel, I mean, I know she's, what, 18, although we missed Taylor's 18th, didn't we? We didn't.
Oh yeah, she wasn't
part of that for that. But
she wasn't a main character then.
We missed that. But if I'm just thinking, so say that I was to see one of my 6 years from like last year on national television talking about a book which an older man had written about their like sexual exploits, I don't know, it would make me feel slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Anyway, very rightly so, she kind of says, you can't even look me in the eye, what does this mean for us? And he is like, I don't know, like, I need to shower, I need to go to work. Like, he needs some time to think about it, which I think
process
is perfectly okay.
Yep.
Meanwhile, over in Seattle, Dr. Robert bloody loves it in Seattle. It's his fave. He's
having a great time.
Great. And he turns around to Seth and asks, what is on your mind? And based on the strategy he's going for earlier, he wants Dr. Roberts to say no. So he's going in pretty hard.
Oh, yeah, right away.
And it's just like, I'm just thinking about marrying your daughter. Like, no. It's just so, he's really going about the right way for him to be like, nah.
He's also making himself just look like an arsehole though, isn't he? And he's the, Dr. Roberts is like, well, why do you want to marry her? Do you love her? And he's like, yeah, she's cool, she's like pretty easy on the eye. And then he's just instantly, as like most parents would be, is she pregnant?
Yeah this is so, it's just so awkward, it's so awkward to watch. And Seth's like, no, oh, we did think about it, blah blah blah. And then Dr. Roberts gets paged and he's like, I have to go, we need to talk about it tomorrow, someone's just been impaled by a unicorn.
I did just look this up. I was like, was this a Grey's Anatomy storyline? Because believe me, there have been a lot of crazy ones. But no, don't think it was.
Aww.
So yeah, we're sort of left hanging there. And then we have Taylor. I think they got a deal with hotels as well.
There's a lot of hotel scenes.
In the scene, yeah. But Henry is there, he's painting, and he's like, oh, Peaches, you have come. And she's just like, you stink. And again, they're really going in hard and heavy with the terrible French stereotypes, aren't they? I think like, Ryan says that he smells of brie. Taylor is always commenting on how he smells, and he's like, oh, bathing's for the bourgeoisie. And then it's just again like, oh, this constant sunshine, it's so banal, there's no culture here. Taylor basically just thinks he's at it, he's like, you're trying to get me back. And Ryan's not cool with it, understandably, but I don't know.
See, this again, it comes back to this kind of like age thing when Henry is like, do you want me to hang out with you guys so that he can see that I'm not interested in you? First of all, I would never suggest that. I would never suggest that to an ex. I would be like, I will keep my distance, I will keep my space, goodbye, you never have to see me ever again.
Yep.
Like, I would never force myself into that situation. Especially, like, once he's done this book tour, he never has to see them again. It's not like he's going to be there, it's not like he's going to be hanging out. But yeah, that is weird. And then Taylor and Ryan agreeing to it, or especially Ryan being like, oh yeah, sure, I'll come and put myself in that really horrifically awkward situation. Weird.
So then he proceeds to paint Taylor and agrees to go on a date with the corn-fed farm boy.
Yes. Over to Julie, who's on the phone to Mrs. Jacobson, not Mrs. Robertson, as I had written down. I don't know why.
Mrs. Jacobson, who is a bit raging about her last...
Gentleman caller.
Yes, gentleman caller, her last transaction, who had an unwet back.
Kirsten walks in and obviously Julie makes her excuses, kind of hangs up the phone. Kirsten's very much like, look, we need to talk. What's going on? You've got all this work. I'm worried. Like, what's going on here? Julie kind of scuttles off and Kirsten steals her phone.
Class.
I'm very hesitant to be like, oh my God, why would you ever steal someone's phone? But then I'm also like, well, Julie does have a history and she is acting weird.
It's just
and
weird
it's Kirsten's
to think,
company.
Yeah, it's just weird to think that she managed to do it. If you think you were doing something like that, you would be totally like keeping your phone on you at all times.
Yeah.
You would notice. But anyway.
100%.
Kirsten bumps her phone. and we can see where this is going. Meanwhile, we're at the yacht club with Holly, etc. And again, it's just Holly and
the Noopsy Weds.
Yeah, the Noopsy Weds. One's called Lisa, the other's called like Brian or something.
Brian,
like Bert. What have I written down? I've written down Brian. Aye, Brian
Let's
and Lisa.
Just call Brian her Brian. I like it.
Brian.
Brian and Lisa.
Pancakes is in a little cute bag. And they're basically all toasting to being basic bitches.
Yeah. Hoes, this Noopsy is Weds. Summer. See if anyone ever introduced me as a hoe. Affectionately or not. Not okay. Not.
They're awful.
They really are. Although Summer's outfit is really cute. It's like this kind of like purple silk combo. It's nice. Over at the tackle place, Taylor is flapping. She's outside talking at herself. And Ryan kind of comes out and overhears her and is like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I just don't know what to do. And he's like, it's fine. I'll get over it. I just need some time. Done.
Yeah.
Finn, this is where it should end.
Yeah, this is where it should end. But Taylor's like, oh no, I've got something that will help. And obviously says we're all going to go out together. Awful. And then we're back to Summer and the Noopsy Weds, who are all absolutely mad about it.
Yes, they are drunk.
Oh God, I know. Can you even?
You know what I'm going to say, and I don't know what to say.
No, I don't know what to say.
Horrific. So they're all drunk. They're all like chatting away, being drunk idiots. And then Holly kind of announces to the group, I told Brent, presumably her husband, all I want for Christmas is an African baby. What the fuck?
Fuck.
What?
Do you know what this did put me in mind of as well, though?
Madonna.
You know...
Angelina Jolie.
Well, all of that, but do you remember the Russell Brand film, like, it's like Get Him to the Greek, and his song is like African Child?
No.
And it's really...
I clearly repressed that memory.
Yeah, let's not go down that road. But yeah, that just got in my head after it. Oh,
there's a really amazing book called Swing Time, which touches on all of... that African baby-ness that I would thoroughly recommend. I can't... Zadie Smith, is it that wrote it? Zadie Smith, Swing Time. It's very, very good. Would recommend.
Nice.
Good book.
We'll check it out. But yeah, they're just... It's literally like an extended version of the alternative universe summit, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's all like, oh, Mama needs some more champagne. And I just hate it that they make everything... like they shorten everything and... Yeah, it's just terrible. But then, who comes to top up her champagne?
Shay, of course. It's not Shay, she's hallucinating, but she, at this point, had already grabbed his butt, and she's freaked out, and everyone just thinks she's drunk, but she got a bit of a fright.
Yeah, she got a bit of shake. And then we are over at the Roberts with Caitlin and Will watching some cop chase. Julie's frantically looking for her phone and Caitlin's still sort of protesting that, look, this isn't a date. And he's like, well, what is it then? And you can just see he's getting quite annoyed. He doesn't really find the show funny.
No.
She wants to get high, he doesn't. And I think he's just it is this sort of, we've saw this a bit with the last few episodes from Caitlin. She's trying to be too cool for school and it's just not really sitting with him.
He's not interested in that. And he quite rightly says, especially after she's offered him a sweet, sweet joint, he's like, I thought this was all an act when you were at school, but it's not. I was wrong. And he leaves. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we're at the probably most awkward day ever.
Oh my God. I can't imagine anything worse.
Yeah. We've just got Ryan, Henry and Taylor, and Henry's just moaning about how there's no culture. And he is going to be, one more thing before he leaves, he's going to be appearing on a literally talk show, Je Pense. Yeah, and he wants Taylor to appear with him, and apparently she's done it before. She's been on several times. And basically Ryan's just so out of his depth, isn't he?
Yeah, which, bearing in mind, he's 19 years old. 19. Of course he's out, 19-year-olds aren't meant to be on fucking literary TV shows. It's so weird. What age is Taylor? Is she actually 40?
Yeah, but I mean, this could be a storyline for, the adults.
It really could.
You know, it really could.
They're talking some deep shit. Henry's put her forward to translate some erotic poems. They start reciting the poems. And you can just tell that Ryan is like, yeah, this is not my bag. And he says to Henry, here, pal, can you give her a lift home? Because I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm away up the road.
I'm away up the road. And of course, Henry is like, Oh, yeah, of course.
And yet, it turns out they've been in there for 4 hours, and Ryan's raging. Taylor runs after him, and he's just like, "I've had enough."
Completely understandably so. Totally. And she's very much like, "Oh, I thought you said you were okay," and he's like, "Well, I guess I'm not." Like, what an awful position to put somebody in. Sandy and Ryan are in the kitchen doing what Ryan and Seth normally do, kind of just a rundown of what's been happening in the episode thus far. Ryan is reading French philosophy at 7 a.m. Sure. He tells Sandy about the book, he tells him about the situation, and Sandy reads it quite well and is like, oh, are you just feeling like, how can a kid from Chino be hanging out around with this crowd? Do you not think that this jumps from one storyline about the fact that this guy's written a porn book about Taylor to this completely different storyline of Taylor's now a
Social class.
It's gone from one extreme to the other, and I don't know when that happened or why that happened or why it's happening in one episode, but it's quite weird. Quite a lot to pack in.
But Sandy basically says, look, Taylor's a lot of things, but you can tell she really likes you. You should talk to her. And then does a really weird Jerry Lewis impression, and that ends that scene.
Yeah, moving swiftly onwards. Julie is frantically going through her bag. This is me every day when I get home. Actually, it's me when I get to the office and I can't find my pass. It's me when I get home and I can't find my keys.
Yep.
Caitlin is explaining to Julie that it wasn't a day, and she's messed up anyway and it doesn't matter, and then Julie's kind of taking the piss.
It's a dark mom.
Yeah, and Julie's like, you think he's dorkalicious. I like this between the two of them. It was super cute. I also loved it when Julie started going through the pots and pans to see if her phone's there. That's 100% why I start looking in the fridge.
Fridge is one.
Look everywhere.
But basically, Julie says, I think you should try and tell him how you feel.
Yeah.
And then, where is the phone? Kiki's got the phone.
She's got the phone and she knows, man. She knows.
So, she is calling to confirm a date. So it's Mrs. Jacobson's date or whatever. She's doing the sneak and she finds out that it's in the Four Seasons. And she cancels.
Yep.
And you can tell, she's going to go and see what's going on here.
Yeah. I didn't think she was going to see what's going to go on. I thought she was just going to go straight to Julie. I didn't realise this next bit was happening.
I thought she was going to do a little bit of snooping. Yep. And then Ryan's turned up to see Taylor and he's like, look, I was upset. And he says, I didn't grow up going to the opera. And Taylor's just like, oh, I wish I hadn't said yes to going on that talk show. She tries to reassure him and Ryan's like, no, go to the talk show. Don't stop being you. I'll come and see you. So fair play to him.
He's really trying.
Yeah, he's trying.
Over with Dr. Roberts and Seth. Dr. Roberts basically says, you can't marry Summer because I don't think you really appreciate her, which like really triggers something in Seth to actually announce his undying love. And it's almost like this real clicking moment where like he does realise he does really love her.
Yeah.
Like, she makes me more of a man. And Dr. Roberts is like, so this wasn't just some kind of goof. And he's like, no, I do, seriously. And Dr. Roberts is like, nah, come chat to me after college. You're just a kid, which
you're
is
a child.
The correct answer, Dr. Roberts, 10 points.
Yep, should have been realised like 3 episodes ago, but hey-ho. Yep. So we're back with the Noopsy Wed, and Summer is continuing to see Chafe, who is basically her conscience.
Yeah.
And Hayley lets her try on, is it a wedding dress? Is it a bridesmaid dress?
I think it's her wedding dress. I think it's the pink wedding dress she was wearing pink in the picture before. But she's got it like in a box and she's like, here, I was really anorexic when I wore it. And Summer responds by saying, oh, good for you. This is what I describe as a guy joke. Come with me on this journey. Men can have eating disorders too. Let's put that out there right now. This is a generalized sweeping statement.
Sounds like cats as well.
I know, poor Kelly.
Kelly piping up.
Do you know what it is? Is she hates it when it's windy and she gets really scared. Aww. And I'm like, honey, we live in the UK, it's windy all the time. You've been around for 7 years. You really need to get used to it. Yeah, I just think this is such a guy joke. I think it's like men assume, or lazy writer women assume, that joking about these things is funny. Whereas I just don't think women predominantly would naturally write a quote-unquote joke like this.
No. And if you think of how many bullets relating to Kirsten.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you know, so it's quite a recurring.
Like, it's not a recurring, okay, terrible to joke about eating disorders.
No.
Like,
no. It's just most definitely not.
And I don't know if that's just like a sign of the times that wouldn't happen as much anymore.
Maybe.
Or I don't know. Just men thinking that's what women think and joke about.
Thanks, okay, chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we then cut to the talk show and you've got sort of Taylor and Henry sort of bouncing off one another, aren't they? They're just talking about existentialism of the 21st century in French. And, oh my gosh, look at her eyes. Sorry.
My cat from before has now come onto my lap because, as I said, she's scared of the wind. So she's trying to curry into my dressing gown. But all Jane can see is her little eyes popping up.
Yeah,
at the
usually
of the
she
screen.
Like crawls about, but it's just her, usually see her tail, but I'm just like seeing her little eyes and it's so cute because they look so green.
little baby Kelly.
Yeah. But So they're sort of bouncing off one another and Ryan's sort of trying to follow, isn't he? And yeah, it's awkward.
I did think he looked quite proud though. Like, it's quite clear she's smashing it and he looks on like in a proud manner.
That's my word. Yeah. And then we jump from there, don't we, quite quickly to Summer in the dress.
Yeah.
And then
what is it she says, like, or her subconscious says, like, oh yeah, it looks great for a prison.
And then she comes out just as the girls are about to dye pancakes pink to match her dress.
Yeah. And what is it she says just before she does it? She's like, he says the only person that can save you is you. She comes out and pancake is almost pink, and then what's her job? Is like, bitch, what's wrong? And Summer just runs away holding pancakes, being like, everything is wrong. Bless.
So thankfully, it looks like Summer's sort of having some form of revelation.
Thank God.
Yeah. And then we're back to the talk show. Lots of French, lots of clapping. And it turns out that Ryan's very pleased, happy, proud for Taylor. And then, this is so awky. So, like, Henri comes over to speak to Ryan and he's like, oh, yeah, I mean, I hear writing a book on David Hume. And it turns out that Taylor has waxed lyrical about all this shit that Ryan has no interest in, isn't doing. But, yeah, basically just to sort of make him seem as smart as Henri, and it's awful.
Yeah, I really hated this. I thought it was really so out bad. Of character for Taylor. I just didn't believe it. It's also a horrifically shit thing to do.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's basically saying, I don't think my ex thinks you're good enough, so I'm going to make up a lie to make you look better in their eyes, which ultimately means I don't think you're as good.
Yeah, and also, why would you give a shit about what your ex thinks if you're your boyfriend who lives on the other side of the world?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Taylor, like, understandably, Ryan goes over to Taylor and is like,
pulls her up.
What the fuck is going on? And Taylor was like, look, I could see him sitting there judging you and I hated it. I lied to make you look better. What? That is not okay. And, like, they go down the kind of storyline from here on in with them in this episode goes down the way of, like, oh, well, you know, we're so different. Not different. Taylor's an arsehole.
Yeah, it's awful. Absolutely awful. And Ryan understandably leaves. And as he leaves, we see Kristen arriving at the Four Seasons.
Yep.
And then this all sort of runs into one. So we see Kristen arriving at the Four Seasons.
Julie's pouring what looks like a gin.
And she gets a call from Spencer to be like, Julie, Kristen knows.
Yeah.
And then, oh gosh, we see Kristen arriving at the Four Seasons suite to meet Ken.
I love this.
So he starts basically giving her options, doesn't he?
Well, does she not ask? Because he's like, let's get down to business.
She's like, walk me through.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, step one, money in the nightstand. Step two, we get nasty.
He's like, oh, Julie usually tells you the rules, and Kirsten actually some good accent here, because she looks like, it's like, you know that way when you know something it's bad but you haven't realized quite how bad, and I think it's just she's quite naive in the sense that she didn't actually think, she's still, you know, that way she wants to be proved wrong.
Yeah,
I think, like, when you know something. Yeah, so it's really awkward, and she just makes an excuse. She's like, oh, I need to pop out to the car to get the toys are in the car.
I love the fact that everyone's brain jumped to, like, sex toys. I was like, it must be expensive toys. Is she worried, like, someone's going to break in and, like, steal them or something? She doesn't have kids old enough for toys.
Oh, amazing.
My poor wee brain.
Yeah, there you go.
It's had a tough day.
So innocent.
Anyway, Will is volunteering at some kind of homeless clothes drive thing.
Okay, they have them all the time, don't they?
Love them. Caitlin's here to clear up a few things. I like you. I just wanted you to know that.
Yeah.
All right, Caitlin.
And he likes her also, but he's got a lot of homeless pals, and he's like, oh yeah, and I like this. And he was like, Newport has homeless people too. And then they're all like, hi, Caitlin. She's like, hi, Darl, hi. Because it's all the people from Thanksgiving.
Yeah. It was good.
Mega
hey,
cute.
Darl. Hey, Bill.
Yeah. They're also recurring characters.
I know. They're like, And yeah, he's like, I'll give you a call when I leave, which was cute. I like that. Yeah. Julie arrives at the office. Kristen is also here. I can explain that you've been running a prostitution ring. It just happened.
Yeah.
I mean, it did kind of just happen, to be fair.
Did, but I mean, you can see this must be really the last straw. For if you think about how the season started with Julie trying to get Kirsten's son to kill Volchek.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And I think we forget. She's just got so much charisma, we forget how many mental things she tries to pull off. Kirsten's just like, you're breaking federal law. And then I also kind of love Julie's rationale, which she's like, you just quit now and forget about it, it'll be fine. And Kirsten's just like, no, like, this is it. I want you out of here on Monday.
Yeah. I won't call the police or tell Sandy, but you are now on your own.
Yeah. She's obviously going to need to tell Sandy. How are you going to explain that otherwise?
I know. Who's going to tell Bullet?
Mind him? I've not saw him for an entire episode.
Bullet.
Pew.
Pew.
Bang, bang.
Oh, bang, bang. Close enough. Right. Over to Summer's room. And Shay is phoning her. He is in some kind of yurt, a single person yurt in the middle of his room, because he's been doing out of body work.
Oh.
Sure.
Where has he been?
He's on... Well, apparently he was dreaming about her in a wedding dress and some owls, and the owls were crying. This is like when somebody was like, oh my God, I need to tell you about this dream I had last night. Don't care about your dream last night. It didn't happen. Yeah, I don't care.
It happens. Don't care.
I find it. Unless it involves me, I don't care.
Yeah.
Don't tell me your dreams.
Yeah.
But this felt like the same, didn't it? It's like, the owls were crying for you. All right. Okay.
One of those. But yeah, it gives her all this chat. She's like, oh, I'm so confused. Like, I don't know what I want. And he's like, oh, two halves need to be whole before they can become one, or some shit like that.
In order for two halves to be whole, each half needs to be whole on its own. A vital piece of information that people should take note of.
Yeah, so you can kind of see where this is going, can't we, in terms of Seth and Summer. But we cut to Ryan sitting by himself in the dark. Sandy arrives and has a little chat with him. And yep, he basically says it took him and Kirsten lots of years like to get their rhythm. They're both very different, came from very different backgrounds. And he's like, look, try and focus on, which again, sound advice from our Sandy, focus on what holds you together rather than what separates you.
Yeah. Although I think that's vital information when you've been together for a long period of time. You've been going out for like 3 months. Like,
yeah.
Cut and run, Ryan. Cut and run. Yeah,
we'll get to this in a minute. But we cut to Summer binning all the wedding mags, and Seth returns with the news that Dr. Roberts has said no. Not for a few years anyway.
Yeah. But I realised I don't want out. I want in. I'm in with you forever. Not today, but someday. So let's just stay engaged. Not the most romantic of proposals.
Nah. But Seth, yeah. He's obviously thinking, oh, Summer's just going to go with this. It'll be fine. But instead, Summer's like, look, I've got no idea who I am. I can't be with someone until I'm okay with myself. And she gives the fugly ring back.
She does. She does. I think this is important, though. This is important. Yeah.
Get that in the bin. But no, I love it. They play that West Coast tune as well. And I'm like, oh, I love this song. And yeah, it's just great.
It is. And she says, it is a no, sorry. I'll see you tomorrow, though. Basically, bye. Being like, I don't want to get engaged, but I'm happy, like,
yeah,
still going out. And he kind of walks away holding the ring. He's clearly dejected, rejected.
All dejected.
Although she does say, like, you should take this. We might need it someday. Like, I've not been needing that ever again.
Yeah, it's Seth as usual. Super sensitive, over-dramatising everything. Woe is me.
Yeah. Anyway, over to Ryan, who's looking at his scrapbook.
This is kind of funny.
And then he drives over to the studio, storms on set and snogs her in front of the Eiffel Tower. But actually, he doesn't. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's a really weird ending.
Yeah. Taylor's just sitting with her head in her hands, and Henri's like, stay, and takes her hand, and she does stay. And that's it.
Finn.
Yeah.
The end. I actually need to confess, my computer crashed out just after when they were sitting waiting. I didn't see her stay and hold his hand.
Yeah, well, but he takes her hand. He instigates it, so it's not really, but still, she stays. Yeah.
I'm not surprised. He is quite a handsome Frenchman, and clearly they had wonderful sex, so I think maybe she should dump Ryan and get back with the French guy.
Maybe.
And he's going to be well rich now with that book, so it's a lot of good reasons to stick with him. Anyway,
that's us.
Ba da ba da ba, listener of the week. Ba da ba da ba da da. Ba da 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 da.
Awesome, Heather. That was some very good. Love it.
I appreciate your lies. Thank you.
No, I liked it. I was getting caught up in my message there. But. Yeah, so this week's listener of the week, it goes to the lovely Kirsten. Right, Heather, this is a bit of a...
Actual Kirsten?
Like Kirsten Cohen.
Oh my God, has Kirsten Cohen messaged us?
Yeah, it's Kiki. No.
Can you imagine?
No. No, this Kirsten is from Australia. And yeah, it's a very lovely message. So prepare.
Are you going to try to make me cry? No.
Hello, Jane, and not mean Heather.
That's me, hi.
That's you over there. How do I even begin to start this? I'm a long time listener, first time caller. It's a bit of a stroke, but totally accurate. I'm a 28-year-old from Australia who first fell in love with the OC as a much younger gal and would rewatch every couple of years or so. Your podcast has been great because it's been like my regular watch, but this time with newly found friends and no screen time. I discovered your podcast early in season one and have been loving it ever since. Your podcast was my first ever Apple podcast review. I just wanted to say thank you for the laughs, serious talks and joy it's given me. I also wanted to say thank you because I listened last week on the morning of my wedding and it was a good way to have a quiet moment before it all started. I can't wait to see what you do next. I'm hoping for Veronica Mars or Gossip Girl. Oh my God.
I'm actually crying.
Imagine listening to our stupid voices.
Oh man, Kirsten, Heather, you really got me there. Jeez.
If you're not listening to me and you in the morning to your wedding,
God, Kirsten, you she's actually crying right now. I know, I'm actually crying. Oh man, I really got me in the feels there.
It's
been a really long day. Oh man, that really so got nice. Me. That is so nice.
I know.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kirsten. Thank you for tuning in, giving us a review and listening to us on your wedding day.
That's absolutely insane.
Yeah, I hope you had a lovely day. But yeah.
I am going to as soon as I found my live journal and deleted it, I'm gonna go and stalk you on the internet and look at some pictures.
Oh yeah, I have requested to follow back, so
great, okay, I'll keep an eye out. That's such a lovely
that's
thing
such a to, lovely thing
that's so right. I'm gonna go and cry privately in the shower where no one can see. Aww. Thanks Kirsten for making me cry in front of all of our listeners. I hope you're happy.
Together, I feel like we're going to be encouraging people to send in. Like,
no, this isn't a fun game for the last six episodes.
No, God. It is. No, but seriously, thank you. All your messages mean a lot, and as you can see, sometimes make us cry.
Okay, I'm going to go. Jesus, pull yourself together, woman.
Yeah, we've only got six episodes left, not to make you cry anymore, but yeah.
Oh my God, stop it. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Until next week. I'm very excited to watch next week.
Yeah.
Tune in to find out whether Heather will cry again. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.